We have our first genetically modified hybrid.
Hello and welcome to episode 63 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I'm Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Prochko and Angie Han.
Hello!
Hi!
So this week we're having a special episode of sorts, and we're going to talk about our most anticipated movies of summer 2015, specifically 10 of them. And number 10 on the list, we're going to work our way backwards, is Pitch Perfect 2, and I'm going to talk about that one because I'm obsessed with Pitch Perfect 1. That's come out so many years ago now, and I mean, in case you haven't seen that movie, first off, go see it right now, but it's about a group of a cappella singers, and in the first movie they were in college, and now they go off. It's some sort of, like, world competition. I don't really know if the trailer kind of sells it as, like, the next level of Pitch Perfect 2, but it's, like, these characters that I've come to know and love over the years, and I love music, and just the idea of seeing them come back together and do this again is incredibly appealing to me. But I do miss the school setting a little. I don't know if you guys saw that first clip, but I'm like, eh. I don't know, but I'm still really pumped because it's Pitch Perfect.
Sure. Honestly, as long as it's 2 hours of people doing like their fun little a cappella thing, I'm in. Like that was like the best part of the first movie, and I just can't wait to see them all back together again.
Two words, guys: Anna Kendrick. I'm in. Like, yeah. I kind of like everything she does.
I'm curious to see how Hailee Steinfeld fits in. Did you guys watch the MTV Movie Awards? Because it's like it was Anna Camp, Brittany Snow, and Hailee Steinfeld on stage, and it's like Hailee Steinfeld felt like the third wheel.
Aww.
And I don't know, they're not really promoting her yet much in the promotional campaigns.
So well, I'm we did hear her sing in Begin Again.
You know, I completely forgot about that. I hope she can sing, because when the news of her casting first broke, they said that they were going to veer the series away from Anna Kendrick and let her lead it after this.
Well, I think they kind of have
to. Or perhaps that was just a rumor.
So is that
she was going to, like,
gonna
pass the torch?
Now?
If this one does well, we'll see. And I think there's no reason that it won't do well. I mean, people are already flipping out about it.
There's no reason it won't do well, but I don't know that I like the idea of this thing that was supposed to be one small movie getting blown into, like,
but
forget the characters you know. Look at this new girl! Like,
I guess, but
so
then
great.
Again, look at all those reality shows, you know, with the singing reality shows. It might have that same kind of,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
obsessive
but people aren't watching
vibe where people would freak out and want to see more and more of it. I mean, it's actually like, I forget, you or Angie just said, as long as they keep singing these songs, you'll come back for more. It's fun to listen to. Was the plot of Pitch Perfect that mind-blowing?
I think I'll wait till it comes out to see if Hailee Steinfeld is worthy of being Anna Kendrick's successor.
Yeah,
we'll
I think
see.
We're putting the cart before the horse a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, really. But anyway, I'm psyched about Pitch Perfect. And I'm also going to do this next movie on our list, which I am so freaking excited about because I'm obsessed with the original one. Again, it's like the same thing. I'm a fucking broken record. Sinister 2. I'm obsessed with Sinister. It was one of my favorite movies of, I think it was like 2011 or 2012. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like an evil entity kind of movie. And the original one had Ethan Hawke. And this one, I'm curious to see where they take it, because what I loved so much about the first one was that it was such a contained horror movie and that you barely saw the demon whose name was Bagul. Like, the entire movie, all it really was watching what he was capable of doing to people and killing people, but you never really saw him. And I don't know if any of you have seen the new trailer, but he is all over it. He's just, like, everywhere.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because sometimes I find in horror movies, the more they show, the less effective that it becomes.
It definitely makes me a little concerned, but at the same time, the footage seems like very much in the vein of the first one, which I like, and I guess you have to take it a step further. Also because one of the characters from one is carrying over to two, so they do need to, you know, add a new layer to the mythology, and maybe he is getting closer to Bagul. So for all I know, that's what it is, but I'm glad this character is continuing on. Deputy so-and-so. Shit, what was his actual name now?
No, I'm just kidding.
I wish. But, I don't know, I like the poster. It's eerie.
Movie a lot. I'm curious to see where it'll continue to go, because it wasn't just, like, a fun movie, but it was also a movie that spoke about horror movies in a way that I thought was really smart. Where, like, you know, they have to be created for someone to watch them. So, like, you're kind of inherently part of those deaths.
Yeah, it, like, implicated you in the horrible things that are happening because it's a whole movie about, like, looking at this, like, horrifying footage, and then you're like, wait, I'm also watching the footage.
Mm. Those are my favorite part, though. I hope that the kill videos are just as good. They look it. They teased a good deal of them in that trailer, so go check that out, because they're in there, and I think it looks creepy, and I can't wait.
All right, moving on to number 8. I am really looking forward to Mad Max Fury Road. And I have to admit, I don't know the original films. All right, I have to admit, at all. I haven't seen them. I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. However, I didn't... And so when they first announced this movie, I was just like, eh, whatever. But then I saw the trailer, and oh my fucking God. I saw it for the first time last year at Comic-Con, and it was just, like, I don't think anyone really had any expectations, good or bad, for this movie, and everyone was just like, holy shit, what was that? It looks so unlike all the other action movies that we see, because, you know, we see so many action sequels, and they all kind of start to look the same after a while. I still enjoy them, but this one was one that made me sit up and be like, wow, this looks different and unique and unusual, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm in.
This was a really long time coming, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, when they first put it out in Comic-Con, we had been talking about it, or they had shot it, like, well before, something like that, where nobody had heard anything new from it in a really long time, and then all of a sudden, they were just like, bam, here it is, and people were like, holy shit.
I feel like I've been hearing about this movie for as, like, about Tom Hardy being in this movie for as long as I've known that Tom Hardy has existed, practically. Like, and that was one of the reasons why everyone was surprised, because everyone was kind of like, all right, so let's just admit it's all fucked up and nothing good is gonna come of this, right? And then that trailer hit.
Yeah, that first trailer was all kinds of bonkers.
It's weird.
It's like, I don't even entirely get what the story is, but, like, I don't care. Like,
I don't
all
either.
Those things just look so, I just want to watch people get, like, ripped apart and run over in this world.
That's all Perry wants from the summer. That's it. That's no big deal. Yeah, I agree. I think this looks kind of bonkers and interesting. And couldn't have less to do with our next movie. I don't know. I couldn't figure
Great
out a transition.
It's about an adventure.
Yeah, there's an adventure.
Also every movie ever, but, you know, go on.
Number 7 is Tomorrowland, which is the latest movie from Brad Bird, who did Go to Call, or, you know, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, if you prefer, and a bunch of Pixar movies that were amazing. And it has George Clooney and Britt Robertson. And it's the trailer that you saw where the girl picks up, like, a decoder ring and then gets put into a field, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And, like, reading the plot description at this point doesn't help a whole lot, because it's basically, like, there's a young lady and an older guy, and he knows a lot of stuff, and she's interested in things. And I was like, it's Doctor Who? They go to a time and space
No wonder point? You're so excited for this one.
Yeah, I was like, ah, all right, I will watch Doctor Who. I mean, it's not actually Doctor Who, but it's close enough. It's fine. But, I mean, I'm excited about it. I think it'll be fun to... It's a Brad Bird movie, man. I've never seen a Brad Bird movie that wasn't an incredible amount of fun. So,
I just like the ties that it has to Disney World and Tomorrowland and Disney World, because I'm a sucker for that park. And, you know, just how those secret plans kind of... I forgot who... I'm pretty sure that they said that the plant, there's, like, a mystery box that they found that inspired some elements of the film. So
that's the story.
I'm kind
of
looking forward just to see.
Is that a real thing that happened, or is it bullshit marketing? Because I
can
completely assume it's the latter.
Damon Lindelof is the one who wrote this, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like
it's in the press notes.
Yeah,
oh,
it sounds like a mystery book. Yeah, it sounds like a fabulous Hollywood lie. Like, you know, they discovered
her while
she was drinking a soda at the corner
Wasn't
shop.
Like mystery box a bad robot thing? I don't know.
That's a J.J. Abrams thing. Yeah,
that's copyrighted. Every time we say mystery box, we're actually paying a quarter.
I do hope that they make an extra effort to connect the movie with the park, though. That would be nice. Like, where you could actually see the movie and then experience certain elements in the park.
I'm sure if it does, they'll bring something to the parks. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it already exists there, too, so how much work do they have to do?
Yeah, so, again, I'm just going to jump into the next one. I'm trying to think of transitions on the fly, and it's not working. I'm
also an adventure in this one. Just go with that. It's fine.
Another adventure is Spy.
Everything's better when you say it with a funny accent.
Right? I don't know where that guy was from. I've been catching up on Orphan Black, so I've got all the accents in my head. This is a new movie by Paul Feig. Is that how we say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Check for him. Aces. So Paul Feig brought us Bridesmaids, and we love him, and he's funny, and he's doing the new Ghostbusters with ladies. And this is his take on James Bond, which, like, I actually got to, like, hear him talk about, like, ages ago when The Heat was coming out on DVD, and I was just like, wait, what? Like, at the time it sounded so cool and weird that I was like, that's never gonna be a real movie. And he was like, yeah, we're talking to Jason Statham to be in it, and I was like, what? And he's like, don't, like, and then later his PR people were like, don't tell people that, and I was like, but he said it. Fine. But guys, Jason Statham is in this movie, but it stars Melissa McCarthy as a kind of unlikely spy. And I think it just looks really funny and exciting. And Perry actually got a chance to see this movie already.
And it's really freaking good. It's like I walked into it thinking that that was going to be any old Melissa McCarthy movie. And I was one of the only people who was really into the idea. What was her last movie again?
It wasn't The
Heat?
Tammy.
Tammy. I was the only one who was talking up Tammy until the day I saw it. And then I'm like, fuck, this shit sucks. And then I knew about Spy. And I'm like, she's going to do the same type of stuff all over again. She's going to be some, like, bumbling agent who doesn't know what she's doing. And then the third act's going to come. And she's going to twirl. And she's going to come out all done up. And everything is great. That's not what this movie is at all. And I really like the fact that they make her a really competent agent who's actually really good at what she does. And then has to, like, add new skills to her skill set.
Oh, I also want to throw in Rose Byrne, guys. We love Rose Byrne.
Yeah, she's great. She's great in it too. But I'm sorry, Jason Statham does steal the entire. He's so freaking funny. He's so funny.
All right. So on that note,
adventure.
Yeah. Yes. And yet another adventure. Number 5, Trainwreck. So that one is the new movie by Judd Apatow starring Amy Schumer. And it's, in some ways, it's kind of like a typical Judd Apatow movie. It's about like someone who is an adult but doesn't really have their life together. And then they meet someone and fall in love and I guess starts to put their shit together. But it looks hilarious and the reviews are spectacular. I'm really excited about this collaboration because I feel like Judd Apatow has kind of started to lose his way. Like, you know, his last couple movies have been kind of like, okay, they're all the same and they're all kind of like meandering, and Amy Schumer at the same time is someone that seems like she really deserves to be on a bigger platform, so I was really excited to see them come together. And based on the trailers that I've seen so far and based on what I've heard like from people who saw it at South By, which Perry, I think you're one of them, it sounds like my faith was completely justified. And also, much like Jason Statham in Spy, I hear that LeBron James kind of walks away with Trainwreck.
He's good. He's actually like oddly natural too, you know? I thought he was going to be just like shoved in there, you know, as like a celebrity cameo, but he's actually really funny, and I liked his friendship with Bill Hader. I found that really charming. But yeah. I'm surprised you cited how good the trailers were, because I thought that first trailer was absolute garbage.
Like, I thought the first trailer was okay.
It sold it as like, you know, a really like poorly commercial comedy.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing. It's the first trailer looked to me like it could be any comedy, and I was like, hang on a second. This is Amy Schumer. Like, Amy Schumer, if you're not watching Inside Amy Schumer, she has such a smart sensibility. She is fearless in her comedy, and there's a satirical element to it where it's always parodying something in real life and always twisting at something that we take too seriously. And yeah, I was like, no, I expect there to be better than that first trailer. And
I have a good transition for this one.
Ooh.
So I feel like Trainwreck, like the movie itself, is not suited to a good marketing campaign. Because like, if you saw that clip too, the clip wasn't that funny. Trailer's not funny, clip's not funny, but the movie's actually really funny. This next movie I'm going to talk about, though, I'm so freaking excited about it, but the promotional campaign is just like sucking the life out of me, and I'm really afraid.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, I was so afraid. I was like, do you think the promotional campaign is good for this movie?
There's nothing in this world that will, you know, pull down my excitement for Jurassic. I'm like a fucking diehard Jurassic Park fan. That
movie, we know.
That movie is number one. It is on me for life, and I'm obsessed. I know every word. I don't care how stupid Jurassic, The Lost World is, or Jurassic Park 3, I'm so fucking excited for Jurassic World, even though the marketing campaign looks like shit.
Are you scared?
Yeah. I mean, the more I see, the more nervous I get. The Raptor Squad thing, I think, is growing on me a little bit.
It's more
just,
for
just
me.
Just a little bit.
The proposed thing of like, we decided to make a monster or a dino bigger than a T-Rex. I'm like, in what world would anyone do that?
In Jurassic World is where people would do that, Christine. It's right there in the title.
How realistic and like sensible all that stuff is. But also, if you look at the last trailer, it's like, it's almost like a parody of what I would think a Jurassic World sequel would be, where like,
it feels like a checklist and not a movie.
It hit that the stupid beats, you know, where like, a boom would come in just after she says, like, she ate her sister. Or, like I can't remember some of the other ones, but it was just, it's, like, ridiculous shit. And I'm sure you two saw that clip where she's having that conversation with Chris Pratt, and it's just, like,
it's such a boner killer. Such a lady boner killer.
Yeah, and they open this trailer with it. I mean, honestly, the material looks like absolute shit, but I don't care. This movie is my most anticipated movie of the entire summer and the entire year. So I might be really, really depressed come July, but
we'll see.
Please.
So I'm hoping it's just that they don't understand how to advertise this.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it happened with Trainwreck. Perhaps it's happening with this. I'm just going to hold on to that for as long as I can.
So now we go from, we basically did a list and everything got weighted in case you're wondering why Perry's number one is number four. Well, my number one is number three. Ha ha. And here we are. It's Slow West, which despite its title is actually a very jaunty movie. It moves well, it's funny. It is a terrible title. I really love this movie, but it is a terrible title. It's a Western with Cody Smith McPhee, Ben Mendelsohn, and Michael Fassbender. And it's actually really funny, which I hadn't expected, just based solely on the title. I thought it was going to be like a ponderous, long Western. And I'm not opposed to that. I like Westerns. But this was actually something very different. It kind of blends like different tones and moments. It's dramatic and moments it's flat out silly. And it's really kind of sweet, but also kind of, well, a bit like bittersweet. I had such a blast at this. It's playing at Tribeca right now. So Angie and I have actually already got a chance to see it.
Yeah, we're cheating a bit by putting in our most anticipated, but I couldn't resist the chance to give
Slow West a shout-out. Well, because it comes out in May, so it's totally legit. It comes out May 15th, and I'm really excited about it.
I think I love that the trailer has this weird the movie itself is this weird combination of whimsical and brutal. So it's like a fanciful, like, fairy tale. Like, there's times where you almost feel like this wouldn't be out of place in, like, a Wes Anderson movie. And then, like, something happens. And it's like Tarantino. It's kind of bittersweet, but it's not depressing. It's not grim. And if this sounds like you're just like, what the fuck is she even talking about? It's because this movie has a tone that's just so all its own.
I'm glad to hear it has some sort of energy, too, because that title definitely gives the wrong impression, especially knowing it's an A24 movie. I don't know, because, like, I guess my mind immediately went to, you're going to judge me, Ex Machina, which is a little slower, or, like, The Rover. For some reason, I'm picturing The Rover.
I can see why. It's actually a lot faster paced than Ex Machina.
All right, good.
It's like, it's much sprightlier. It's very sweet.
After I've seen like 500 depressing Tribeca movies, maybe I should see that.
And Fassbender's funny. I feel like we don't get a lot of chance to see Fassbender being funny, and he's funny in this.
He was funny in Frank.
He was funny in Frank.
He's also sexy in this, though, funny?
And he wasn't sexy in Frank.
Inside Out's kind of funny. No, it's funny. It's touching. I don't know. That was a good segue.
Go on.
All right, number two movie is Inside Out, which I was lucky enough to see 2/3 of a couple weeks back during a visit to Pixar. And here's another one, actually, where I don't think that the marketing campaign is doing it justice, because I'm pumped for any Pixar movie. I'll see anything. But when that trailer came out, I'm like, this is a cute idea for a short film. How are they going to make this into a feature-length film? Holy shit, they did it. I mean, I can't say they did it until I see the third act of the film, but I'll tell you, they set out more than enough to work with in the first two acts, and it's just incredibly creative. It's gorgeous. I mean, talk about, like, interesting worlds and characters that, like, Pixar's never even done before. And the best part about it is it all takes place in the mind of a little girl. And little girl, little boy, whatever you are, like, we've all been in that position. Like, even though she has her own specific set of interests, anyone can relate to how she's feeling and almost, like, picture the inside of your own mind, like, in that same map-type format, which is a lot of fun to think about. I freaking loved what I saw, and I'm dying to see the rest of this movie now.
Yeah, this was one of the few films that actually made all three of our lists. Personally, I'm super excited about this one because, you know, Pixar, I don't think I'm the only person to think that they've maybe lost a step a bit lately. But then this is a film that makes me be like, oh my God, like maybe this will be a film that reminds me why Pixar is Pixar and other studios are not Pixar. It's a wildly creative premise. And the second I heard about it, I was just like, ooh, I want to know about that.
Also, Amy Poehler's voice, which makes me excited. Like, I'm a little nervous because I don't think the trailers are that interesting, but, like, honestly, for Amy Poehler to sign on, my suspicion is that it's going to be pretty incredible because she's pretty smart
about her project. If you don't think the trailers are interesting, I cannot wait to hear what you think, because I was in the same boat where I was so negative about it, and then I saw this stuff, and I'm like, you guys cannot be stopped. Totally well worth waiting an extra year for another Pixar movie.
Am I going to cry?
Based on what I saw. I definitely teared up a couple times, and we didn't even hit the third act, and apparently it gets a little darker in the third act, so I'm telling you. It's going to be good. I'm very hopeful now.
So number one on our list is another movie that made all three of our lists, and pretty high at that, Avengers Age of Ultron. I don't need to explain this film to you, and also if you've ever listened to me talk, then you probably know why I'm really excited. I'm a really big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm so excited to see everyone back together. I know that's like such a stupid reason to be like, this is a movie I'm really looking forward to, but that's basically what it is. And there's all sorts of interesting new characters that I'm looking forward to finding out more about. I don't know how optimistic I am that the movie will do all of them justice just because there's so goddamn many of them at this point. I know Marvel doesn't like to kill off their people, but they're going to have to start at some point. They need to do some pruning. There's just too many goddamn people. But, you know, we've got, like, Paul Bettany as Vision, who I don't really know anything about. And we've got James Spader as Ultron, who Christy secretly has a crush on because he's played by James Spader.
Oh, right. We talked about that at a screening, and it got awkward because some stranger started listening in and laughing at me.
Oh, God. Why am I not surprised?
This movie looks like so much fun, though. I do love all of the Marvel movies. Like, I get pumped for all of them. But this is one where just, like, the overall hype from everybody, like, across, like, the websites and, like, just the public in general, like, I'm totally buying into it, and it's making me crazy to see this movie. And, like, I've never felt, like, this nuts about a Marvel movie. I've always looked forward to it more so than most movies, but now I'm like, I must see it now. So I'm so excited that this is our number one because we don't have to wait that long to see it.
Yeah, just next week. We'll review next week, guys.
Yeah.
Check back.
One thing about the movie that I heard that I was kind of happy about, so we're talking about the marketing campaign again, which is really the only thing we could talk about most of these movies because we haven't actually seen them. But the marketing campaign, I felt like, had been showing so much, and I have heard from people who've seen it that there's actually a lot they're not showing, so that's one thing that has me really relieved.
Cool.
But on that note, Avengers, we're going to watch it next week. We're going to start with our number one, and then we'll work our way through the other films this summer.
So that's our list. We're stoked. It's going to be a good summer, guys. We're excited.
Damn right.
And for now, we're going to move on to our game. So last week's game was a caption contest for the trailer for Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
You're going to have to keep preparing yourself to say that every single time you do, right?
Yeah, because that title is just, it's a litany. And so last week's winner, or the winner for last week's contest, is West Anthony, at Dr. West Anthony, who responded, "This is the last time I let Aquaman talk me into attending a Slipknot concert." So yeah, West, that made us all laugh out loud. So good on ya. I like it. Also, I appreciate any Aquaman shout out, just because he doesn't get enough love. So this week's game, tied into what we're doing, is just basically tell us what you're excited to see this summer. Tell us what movie and tell us why. And if we like your answer best, we will share it on next week's show along with a Twitter shout out. So tweet us at Popcorn Prosecco.
Alrighty, so that is a wrap on episode 63, our most anticipated of summer 2015 episode. Hope you enjoyed it, and you can catch us all over the internet in between now and next week's episode. You can catch us on popcornprosecco.com. We are on iTunes, where we would like you to rate and like and comment, because that is very nice and helpful. Then you can also like us on Facebook. You could tweet at us for the contest, obviously, at popcornprosecco, and then all three of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, you're up first.
Yeah, I write all over the web, but you can find me at Christy Puchko on Twitter, and on decadentcriminals.com, I collect all my kind of highlights.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me on Twitter at Pete Emeroff, and I write for collider.com. Damn, we nailed our own ones this time. I think this is the first time we did that in like 3-4 weeks. Anyway,
I've only been practicing all day.
Yeah, really. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we're going to see you next time.
Bye. Have a good summer.
Show them what we got.